This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. London-based fintech player Wise is one of Europe's most valuable unicorns, worth around $5 billion as of July 2020. Formerly known as TransferWise, the company started with two people swapping money to pay mortgages and moved on to helping move billions of dollars across the world. 10 years since starting, the company has now changed its name to signal to the world its ambitions to be more than just a cross-border payment solution. To explore the future of the brand and its Asian expansion, this morning I'm speaking with Venkatesh Saha, Wise's head of APAC expansion. Venkatesh, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you, Roshan, for having me here.
So before we talk about the future, Venkatesh, let's talk about the present. Wise has three main products, which are Wise, Wise Business, and Wise Platform, with money transfers being the foundation between all these products. Venkatesh, how has usage been impacted by the pandemic?
I've been asked this many times in the last year. It's been hard for us to say. On the positive side, we have been one of the beneficiaries of digitalization. So if I look at my own parents who are senior citizens, they now get their groceries delivered home. They order everything through Amazon. And these are people who would have never accepted moving to this. So what we have seen is that consumers are looking for more digital ways to transact. Remittances, use of the wallet and card is one of them. And we now see that our solution, which we have taken 10 years to build, is now being taken up more than ever across the world.
Wise has gone through iterations, right? Step by step, upgrading or changing the need based on the needs of the consumer. But would it be fair to say that you're still mainly a consumer product at this juncture in terms of share of revenue?
So Roshan, we don't give a breakups of revenue, either geographically or by customer base. But what I can say here is that the consumer business is our heritage. It has been the longest running business for TransferWise. We are increasingly seeing more and more businesses come and join us. So last year alone, 150,000 businesses signed up with us around the world. And as we look to 2021 and beyond, we continue to remain excited by what that growth is going to look like and the many new use cases that we're trying to solve for.
Right. And just jumping on Wise Platforms there for a little bit, is that a version of white labeling your platform?
So the way we have designed this is for two things. One is our mission is to be able to solve this problem for as many customers as possible. Now, when we work with a digital bank, our solution can be integrated into the native app or the website of that digital bank. So if you're a customer of, let's say, Aspire, which is a digital lender here in Singapore focused on SMEs, and you click on the remittance tab, it will take you to a branded, powered by TransferWise experience, where you will see the same fees as you would if you came to the TransferWise website.
I know from my previous conversations when the Wise product itself, it's a fee based on the transaction itself. Does the fee structure change when it comes to Wise Business and Wise Platform?
No, we don't. We have a few different principles in the company. One is we don't cross-subsidize one for the other. We, as you know, we have been profitable as a company for the last 4 years, and that's something we're very, very proud of. And we aspire to, and that's one thing I wake up and worry about every day, is to ensure that all of our routes and services that we're offering are sustainable.
Venkatesh, now that we've got a bit of an understanding of the product, and I'd like to get a lay of the land of Wise's current presence in the region, the APAC region. Now, I know you said earlier that you guys don't break out the revenue contributions in terms of region or geographies or anything like that. Can you give us some context, I guess, for how big the APAC region is as a part of Wise's business?
Well, I would say perhaps a good proxy for that would be how we are growing globally. So we're about 2,000 plus employees now around the world. We recently announced that we would be looking to add another 750 employees during the course of 2021. And roughly about 10% of those would be based here in Asia Pacific.
All right. And what about Southeast Asia in terms of the workforce number?
So today we're about 150 people here in Singapore, which is our home base here. We have about six offices in the region, and we gain a lot by opening these offices in places like Kuala Lumpur, because it helps us to engage with local partners, to understand our customers better. And as and when the need arises, we will continue to add offices across Asia Pacific.
Now, when we take a look at APAC as a whole, what are your biggest markets here based on volume and usage?
We don't break up or give a rank order of what our markets sizes are in general. But what we are excited about here in Asia Pacific is what the evolution is, right? So today, if we look at the UK, we believe we have a market share of around 10 to 15%. And we track where we are in each of the markets in Asia Pacific at the same evolution where we were in the UK. So where would we be in year three in the UK? Where were we in year five? And so on and so forth. And we are now beginning to see similar trends in markets here in across Asia Pacific, whether it's Australia, whether it's in Singapore, or whether it's in Japan. So again, very, very excited for what the growth looks like and continue to try to find more use cases that we can solve for in this part of the world.
And are there any major economies or major regions that you haven't entered yet and are looking forward to going into yet soon?
The way we think about expansion is maybe across two levers. The first one is entering completely virgin markets where we don't offer any kind of service. So a good example of that would be Indonesia. Today in Indonesia, the remittance product is live. And we are actively working and trying to think through what it would take to be able to offer the rest of the product suite there. Right? The second we think about expanding is in a market where we might have maybe one or two products or features live, and how can we bring the rest of that feature? So going deeper in another market. And let's say Malaysia would be a good example of that, where we're constantly talking to our customers and trying to understand what else can we do? What are the regulatory permissions we would need to be able to solve those use cases? And therefore, what is the investment that would take?
Right. And when you benchmark against the how the product was rolled out in the UK, right, you mentioned that a little bit earlier. Are there any particular markets in the region that surprised you in terms of how fast they grew?
We enter markets by asking our customers. So in most large organizations, you would probably do some kind of a big market study, look at the different players there, look at share. If TransferWise or Wise is not present in a certain market today, you can actually come and leave what we call a wish with us. Right? We track the number of wishes every week. We enter markets in order of priority of what the wishes are. So that might mean we might not enter the largest market necessarily in that sequence, but we would still choose to go to a market where we see the most amount of consumer pent-up demand. And because we follow that and we follow our customers, the growth rates that we see in each of the markets that we have chosen to enter here in Asia compares very nicely to where we were in UK and in Europe in our early days.
So roughly in line, nothing too surprising on the growth trajectory, because your UK growth was good. Just wondering if there was anything like particularly surprising in Asia, especially with the digital boom we're seeing.
I think if anything, what it has reaffirmed to me is that Asia, and particularly Southeast Asia, is truly a fintech-first market. There is a huge comfort with using your phone and using other digital ways of being able to transact. And there is also greater comfort with using non-face-to-face modes of transacting. And yes, therefore, the growth that we are seeing there is extremely encouraging.
Before we move on to some other questions here, I'd be curious to see if there are any key remittance trends in Asia Pacific that you could highlight to us. Anything particularly interesting, maybe some of the highest volume channels, or have money flows changed over the last 12 months because of the pandemic?
So I think the remittance trends is an interesting one. I think for us, the way we think about it is a few things. So first, as I mentioned before, we've been a beneficiary of digitalization, and it's not just us. I think the overall industry has seen a significant shift towards people getting more comfortable with digital modes of transacting. and Wise is very privileged to be at the forefront of this. The second that we're seeing is that the investments that we've made into localization here in this part of the world, and granted, these are early steps and we'll continue to do more, are also beginning to now bear fruit. So you can now send money into a wallet, whether it's Alipay in China, to wallets in Indonesia, to a wallet in Bangladesh, and we are seeing those volumes also go up. These wallets in developing countries particularly end up being the first point of financial inclusion for many of these people. So for them to still be able to receive money, particularly during the global situation that we have right now, and to be able to spend it, I think it means a lot to these people. And we're very privileged to be one of the solutions that can be looked on to solve this.
I've been speaking with Venkatesh Saha, Wise's head of APAC expansion. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. This morning, I'm speaking with Venkatesh Saha, Wise's head of APAC expansion. So 2020 was meant to be a year of innovative partnerships. Have there been any partnerships to show over the last 12 months as you expand here?
Yes, and one example again is the company Aspire. So Aspire is a neobank, a lender to small and medium-sized businesses that's here in Singapore, and they now have very exciting regional aspirations. Their customers came to them and said, yes, we love working with Aspire every time we need working capital, but we would also love to be able to use the accounts that we have with you, both to receive money as well as to send money all over the world to be able to pay our suppliers or other use cases. So we announced our partnership with them recently. And since then, I think, again, both the volumes that we have seen that come from their customers as well as the feedback that we have received has been extremely encouraging. That's on the regional side. I think on the global side, we have continued to innovate and do more things with technology. So we recently announced a very innovative global partnership with Visa, the card scheme. So what this partnership lets us do is it lets us connect directly into Visa's technology, into their systems. And let me spend a moment explaining that. So in the old world, if you had a card product, in order for you to be able to issue a product, you have to be able to communicate with the card scheme, whether that's a Visa, a MasterCard, or anybody else. Typically, there is an intermediary that is known as a processor that helps make this connection. Now, the processor ends up being another middleman in this process. So by us being able to connect directly to a card scheme, we are able to therefore build our own systems and have greater control on the entire process. The second benefit is, instead of being historically, what we would need to do is, even if we connected directly, we would need to have physical servers in every country that we went into. So now by being able to connect to Visa directly through the cloud, it's a single connection globally, which means that our ability to launch our card product with Visa in multiple markets, let's say historically would take between 6 to 12 months, should take anywhere maybe around 3 to 4 months now. So we're continuing to invest in partnerships both globally as well as regionally, and we hope and we believe that these will benefit our customers today and in the long run.
What about in Malaysia, Venkatesh? Because it doesn't seem, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it doesn't seem like you've got any major partners in Malaysia. I mean, the Visa partnership does transcend borders. But you did partner with, as you mentioned, Aspire in Singapore. Any partners in Malaysia?
As you know, Roshan, we've been live in Malaysia for about a year. So our primary focus in Malaysia has been continuing to invest in the product, make it available to a wider constituency than it has been. So one thing that I'm personally proud of what we've done in Malaysia is make our product available to foreign workers to be able to do their remittances. So as you may be aware, foreign workers have certain regulatory restrictions in terms of how many people they can send money to, which country they can send money to. And we have now put in those systems and safeguards within TransferWise in Malaysia to be able to cater to this segment. And the initial response, again, that we have seen has been hugely encouraging. Once we have all of this foundation ready, I have no doubt, and there are conversations that are live in Malaysia today that hopefully the next time when we chat, I'll have something to share with you.
From my impressions before this, the target market in Malaysia seemed to be more affluent in nature, but now you are looking at the foreign worker target segment as well. That's a very competitive market with the likes of newer players like BigPay, but also the older, the more traditional players who are very big in the space like Western Union. Why enter this particular segment of the market?
When Christo and Tarvit founded Wise, or TransferWise as it was known then, they envisioned building a solution for everyone. And Wise, whether it's in Malaysia or Singapore, is also a product that we believe anybody who has a problem with money transfers in the incumbent form can use. Where it's interesting in Malaysia is that from a regulatory perspective, there are certain limitations that are defined in order to be able to cater to this constituency. So that has taken some investment for us to be able to solve for. And I have no doubt that as we continue to invest in this segment, we will become one of the preferred for foreign workers to be able to send money home.
Now, one of the advantages of other players like Western Union is that they've got physical locations at the destination point for individuals to pick up the money in person. Is that a strategy you're looking at as well?
At this point in time, we don't deal in cash, either on the receiving side or on the sending side. The trends that we see, again, because of COVID and everything else, has been towards greater digitalization. So we believe that the world will continue to move there. I think the second thing, as Tarvit mentioned to you when he was here, is the benefits of being a digital company also enable us, therefore, to focus on technology and therefore focus on building on something by which we can then offer the lowest cost proposition wherever we go. So at this point, I don't see any change in our strategy.
Now, 10 years on, Venkatesh, TransferWise has now changed its name, dropping the transfer and now just calling itself Wise. Your CEO has said that the mission remains the same, to make money work without borders. So what is the signaling here from the name change?
By changing our name, we recognize that we are much more than a company that offers remittances or money transfers. Today, what we have built is a true international account that you can use. So let me give you one example of this. So let's say I'm an app developer here in Singapore and I have access to the account or the wallet here in Singapore. I have a client in the UK. Now, when I raise an invoice, historically my client either has to go to his bank or walk up to his bank branch, send the money to me. I don't know when I will receive the money and I don't know how much I'm actually going to get. What I can do now is I can generate the equivalent of a UK bank account number, give that to my client. He just makes a domestic remittance or a domestic transfer into the wallet. And as soon as that money comes in, I open my wallet and I see that I have £1,000 now in my wallet. I can then choose whether I want to keep that money as pounds. I want to convert it into, let's say, another of the 50 currencies that I have on the wallet, or whether I want to use my debit card and spend that money again at some of the cheapest exchange rates in the world. Right? So the wallet is sort of now the center of what we do. And our intention is that we will offer a number of services that are linked to this wallet. So the remittances could be one of them. In the UK, we recently announced that we received an investments license, and we're thinking through what those products could look like. We also have Wise for Business. We have the Wise platform. So the rebranding, I think, indicates a certain maturing of the company, an acknowledgement that our product suite has grown larger, and also an acknowledgement that we will continue to build on these additional use cases based on customer feedback. So I'm very excited. And as we celebrated our 10th birthday a few months ago and our 10 millionth customer, there was a lot for us to reflect on and what's gone well, but it still feels very much like day one for us here.
So as Wise looks forward, are there any plans to look into the digital banking license in the region?
For us, I think the question has always been, what is the problem that we are trying to solve, right? The problem that we're trying to solve is to make the foreign exchange use cases, whether it is sending, receiving, spending, or storing, to be lower cost, to be convenient, to be transparent, right? We believe that our existing permissions that we currently have or are applying for in many countries around the world are adequate to be able to solve that. In the future, if customers come to us and ask us for additional features that might need the kinds of permissions that you are talking about, we will actively consider it at that point in time.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned that the investment product over in the UK, are there any plans to bring that product or roll it out in other markets, like the Asian market, for example?
When we build and design any product, we build it with a global audience in mind. So I would not be surprised if in the very near future, we will actually start trying to figure out how to bring these types of products to Asia Pacific. Given that we are in a regulated business, that typically means we need to get permissions from every regulator in this part of the world that we work with. So it will take time, but I hope that I will have some news for you by the time we chat next.
Fantastic. And, you know, digital financial services, Venkatesh, are a very fast-growing area. We've got all sorts of products there, whether it's investment providers, insurance aggregators, even digital lending, like you have that partner in Singapore. What other products outside of investment is Wise looking at?
Our focus now is two things. One is to be able to bring Wise to markets where we are not present in. And the second is to be able to make sure that we have all the features available in every country that we are live in. So Wise Business and the Wise platform is going to continue to remain a big focus area for us as we continue to see more and more businesses sign up with us around the world. It is something that we will also actively consider when in a place like Malaysia as well. Small and medium-sized businesses are the backbone of any economy. They are the employment generators, but they're also the ones that typically suffer the most when it comes to finding a provider that is low-cost and transparent, especially when it comes to remittances. So serving this use case, whether it's in Malaysia, Singapore, or elsewhere, is going to be something that we're going to look long and closely at and do the best that we can.
On a related note, are acquisitions on the cards to expand your product range?
It comes down to the same thing that I mentioned earlier. Are we solving the specific customer problem? Is it easier for us to do it with what the tools that we have internally? Or do we need to go out into the market and find those elsewhere? I think up until now, everything that we have done has been organic, has all been built in-house at TransferWise, whether it's our technology, our licensing. But in the future, as we continue to grow, if the right opportunity comes our way, it's a discussion that we could have internally.
Wise was expected to publicly list in London later in 2021. Are there any updates on this front that you can share?
We are now 10 years old as a company. We're still very much a scale-up, continuing to rapidly expand. Going public would be a normal aspiration for any company like us. At this point in time, I don't have anything more to say in terms of a date or anything else.
On that note, Venkatesh, thank you so much for joining me on the line today. It's been a pleasure. I've been speaking with Venkatesh Saha, Wise's Head of APAC Expansion, and you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanisan for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.